You're listening to Maximum Medicine Radio with host Doc Martin. Stay tuned in or call in. You won't want to miss what's happening next. How do you step into your maximum potential? How do you connect your spiritual drive with your physical path? Stick around as Doc Martin takes listeners on a journey through the seen and unseen, the accepted and the unbelievable. Get ready to meet the maximum you the world needs on Maximum Medicine Radio with Doc Martin now. Hi, everybody. I'm Doc Martin, Maximum Medicine Radio. I'm here with Peter Woodbury, and we're going to talk about something that I love. He is a hypnotherapist, but he specializes in hypnotherapy for past life regression. And Peter was a Bostonian once upon a time and somehow got called down to Virginia Beach, where he's closely associated with the ARE, Edgar Casey's organization. Peter, I want, if you would, take a minute to say how you left New England and made your way down to a very different culture of Virginia Beach.
Well, I don't even know where to start that story. I found out about Edgar Casey when I was in college. And so, you know, I was going to college in New England in the Boston area. And I went and started to explore this guy, Edgar Casey, but I didn't have the time to really go into depth. And so it wasn't until after I graduated, actually, I had finished college, and then I went to get a master's degree in social work. And then I went to a lecture at, by the way, it was like a new age center in Boston for a while. This must have been in the 90s. And it's no longer there. But Harmon Breaux was giving a lecture about Edgar Casey. And so then he talked about, again, Mr. Casey. So then I went and read There Is a River. And I just got hooked because it really synthesized a lot of, I was born and raised Catholic, but I had kind of outgrown Catholicism, and I'd learned about meditation and Buddhism and Eastern religions. And so I didn't find a rubric to kind of connect all of these different ways, you know, different spiritual traditions that I was learning about. But in Edgar Casey's view, I found a place where they fit together. So I joined the organization, and then in Massachusetts, they had these local chapters, and they had something called Search for God groups. And so I joined a Search for God group, and it started to feel like that's where my true self was. And I felt like, you know, Boston can be very intellectual, and it's kind of suppressing a bit of anything new agey or creative. And so I started feeling that my true self was in this Casey community. So I decided I wanted to move to Virginia Beach to really be part of the organization, the ARE, and the work. And so I moved down here 20 years ago to pursue that dream.
Mm-hmm. So for the listeners who aren't familiar, I myself am very familiar with Edgar Casey, and his story and his teachings are very moving, and they ring true for me. But just briefly, Who was Edgar Casey?
Well, he was born in rural Kentucky in 1877, and he was born with very unusual psychic abilities that it took him a while to realize other people didn't have. Like, he would see angels, he could see auras, he could communicate, he could pick up people's thoughts, he could see the deceased. And so his nickname was The Freak, and there was a broad off-Broadway play written about him called The Freak. But so he kind of tried to suppress this ability, and he didn't want to be seen as unusual. But what happened is that when he was about 20 years old, he lost his voice, and he lost his voice for about 9 months. And they tried all sorts of things. There was no medical cause that they could find, but then they tried hypnosis. And then when he was in a trance state, he could speak in a normal voice, but then he'd come out and he'd lose it again. And so they kept working with hypnosis until at one point he got into such a deep trance that he diagnosed himself, his condition. He basically said it was psychosomatic, and he had a fear of expressing himself, and that it was related to, that somehow he had gotten in trouble in the past with speaking up. And so the direction was given for him to, you know, tell the hypnotist was to tell him you know, return the blood flow to normal and balanced conditions in the throat. And his throat turned bright red when the blood came back to his throat, and he came out of the trance and he could speak in a normal voice. But the doctors, the people that were involved with this hypnosis, they were so curious, they started to ask about their patients. They put him under trance, and they asking about their patients that didn't seem to be responding to any conventional treatments. And he started giving what were called readings. So in the trance state, he could, you know, somehow scan a person's body. He could say what was wrong with the body physically. But then he was also, he's considered the father of holistic medicine, because he was able to talk about mental conditions like anger, how that was playing out in the body, or jealousy or rage. And then he was also talked about spiritual importance, spiritual things that a person had to do to become healthy. So that's why a lot of times there's a mind-body-spirit connection with Casey. But he gave, I think, over, it was 40 years of his life, he gave over 13,000 or 14,000 of these readings. Most of them were for health, but he started giving readings on all different sorts of subjects. And again, it was in the trance state. He seemed to be able to access a level of consciousness which would allow him to be able to answer.
Edgar Casey, what I love about him, many things I love about him, is first of all, the power of his ability to predict and to know, but that he also taught us that when we go into the deeper and access the subconscious, that knowledge is available to us. Mm-hmm. And he was very big on, it was never a top-down prescribing. It was a very much, here's what you can do for yourself. And one of the things that he also talked about, you know much more than I do, about that you can do self-hypnosis and get yourself bypass your mental stuff and go into the deep and help turn things around. What I also love is that he brought spirituality, even though I understand he was a deeply devout Christian, read the Bible multiple times, cover to cover, but he understood the value of spirituality. And I know that when you started doing hypnosis, did you recognize the spiritual value of it?
Yes, I didn't ever really use hypnosis for like smoking cessation or weight loss. I went right into, it was synchronistic, you know, coincidental synchronistic, that when I got to ARE, I got a job as the conference facilitator. So I facilitated for 4 years. They had an annual past life regression training. So they gave me an honorary degree after just attending it. You know, I would be the guy that would bring in the snacks and that sort of thing. And I just attended it. And so from there, I got curious because I got to watch the sessions that the demonstrations they were doing. And so then I began to try it myself. And at first, the sessions were purely past life.
But let's step forward. I know that one of the things that you were steered towards and is you trained with Brian Weiss.
Yes.
And did you know about hypnosis for past lives at that time?
Or Yes. I had already been practicing before I went to Brian Weiss's training. I went to Brian Weiss's training at a time where I was preparing to start to teach. And so I wanted to see how other people would teach regression. And so I got to see it from that that perspective. I got to see his work. I mean, Brian is he's more than a past life regressionist. He's a spiritual master. I mean, people took his class year after year after year just to be in his presence. He's just a very special person. So I was very blessed to take that class with him.
And everybody probably remembers his book, Brian Weiss's book, where he describes the patient who basically opened his eyes to the power of finding out past lives.
Yes, many lives, many masters, yeah.
Right. I want to talk more about that in just a minute. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back to hear more about past life and regression and what it can teach us. We'll be right back.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at transformationtalkradio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit sharingloveandlightshow.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Ascending with the Octurians with Vivian Chouvette. Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio every second and fourth Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are shifting from this third dimensional plane of reality to higher octaves of life. Let us reclaim our sovereignty as a united family of light and manifest the planetary ascension, our return to Prime Creator. For information on our services and to connect with Vivian, visit infinitehealingfromthestars.com.
Parenting isn't about perfection. I think we all know that. Parenting is about being present and honest, having compassion for your child and for yourself, communicating consciously and loving unconditionally. Tune into the Awakened Parent Project with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday at noon Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to be an empowered parent through the techniques of the conscious parenting community. To learn more about Susan, visit SusanDolce.com.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Hi, everyone. We're back. I'm Doc Martin, Maximum Medicine Radio, here with Peter Woodbury. And we're talking about hypnotherapy for past life regression. So, Peter, I want to know, first of all, how did you come to know for yourself that past lives existed? That's one thing. And then what is the value of knowing them?
I wasn't raised in a family or in a culture or in a religion that believed in past lives and reincarnation. So it was through the work of Edgar Cayce that I began to entertain the idea. And then I found out that Edgar Cayce, too, he struggled with the idea of reincarnation because it's not explicit in the Bible. You know, some people will say, or it's been said that it was in the Bible, was taken out. But just with my upbringing, I didn't have a framework for it. But, you know, reading Edgar Cayce, I began to become open to the possibility of it, you know, and it's like, I think if you want to think that life is, that somehow there's justice in the world, that God is fair, it's hard to think that life is fair when, if you look at the snapshot right now of the world, it's like, you know, I haven't missed many meals, you know, I've had a rather fortunate life, and there's certainly people that are living completely different lives. And that just doesn't seem fair to think that that would be the ultimate truth. But with reincarnation, you get some idea that we try out different experiences. We learn from all of the variety of life experiences, of genders, of races, of culture, of class. And so intellectually and spiritually, that made sense to me. And then also as a Catholic or as a Christian, I believe that we had an eternal soul, and that my soul would live on after my death. But if it's eternal, it has to have had an existence before my physical birth. So those ideas began to entertain for me intellectually the possibility that your soul has a life beyond your physical life. And then through witnessing regressions and how vivid those experiences were for people, you know, first of all, watching it through other people conducting those sessions. And then I got my own, like before I started actually being professional, I had my own regressions and I started to have very significant experiences that were very helpful for me. Like my parents were psychiatrists. And so I've done plenty of talk therapy, and talk therapy is really great, but there's certain things that you might be able to get into this life, your childhood. But I'll give you an example. I have a sister that I've never been very close to. I've never trusted. Now, she's never done anything that merits that. I just haven't trusted her. And I never worked on it in counseling because I just thought it was normal. But it was actually at Brian Weiss's training where I was practicing with a student. And I saw this experience. I saw myself training to be a priest in Ireland. And I was very unhappy. I didn't feel like I wanted to be here. It wasn't, felt like it was forced upon me. And then the student regressing me said, well, how did you get here? And then I saw myself as a little boy being dropped off at an orphanage. I was being put up for adoption. And I looked over to see my parents. And I saw that my mother was my sister. My sister in this life, who I never trusted, was my mother in that life. And it hit me immediately. No wonder I don't trust my sister, because, you know, unconsciously, I still remembered that she had dumped me at the orphanage. But the healing purpose of it, the way that it was healing, is that when you, an effective regression is spiritual, because you're not just yourself. You move into the oneness. So I was able to experience my sister's feelings, and I was able to feel that she was horrified. She had 12 kids. They couldn't feed all of them. It wasn't personal. The little boy, me as that little boy, felt rejected. I was very angry and afraid. I didn't understand. I was a little kid. How could I understand that? My mother and parents were faced with this difficult decision, and it was happening throughout Ireland. It just, people were having more kids than they could afford to raise. So I immediately forgave my sister. I realized it was just a misunderstanding. So when I came out of the regression, I called my sister within days and tried to reconnect with her. So that to me showed me how powerful a regression can be, because we can have resentments and grudges and issues that there's no way we can, they don't come from this lifetime. There's no way we can get to them. And it's like, what happens when you do a regression, you dare to do a regression, it bubbles up. What's most important to you is going to bubble up into your consciousness, and it'll bring some gift to you. It'll help you work something through. I have many, many examples I could share about that.
I think also what's so wonderful about it is when you're floating past your human intellectual mind, then you are able to hit that observer state, as you said, in the oneness, and reach a forgiveness, because you're floating above it. You're seeing like the ant through the ant farm, and you're seeing a bigger divine picture at play. And that's an amazing awareness.
That's what I say. I say our injuries happen from our individual perspective, but healing happens in the oneness. Healing happens when you see the whole picture.
So I'll just share with the listeners. I did Peter's past life regression class, I'm going to say 6 years ago at Virginia Beach. And I happened to be one of the people that was chosen to go up on stage. And this is kind of funny. He drew names, and he called a woman sitting next to me. And then he drew the next name and called me, and the whole class was furious that something's rigged, that you picked two people out of the same place of the room. But I said, when I got up in the stage, I said, no, I was sending my signals to be picked, and I hadn't determined strong enough. It's me right here. But anyway, so he, in the past life regression, I experienced a rape, and the people, the three men who abused me, one was my father, and one was a man that I had loved and later betrayed me in this lifetime. And you asked me, you know, are you still angry? And I said something to the effect of, no, the whole point of me having allowed myself to be raped, in other words, I saw the conscious willingness to do that, was for them to learn. And I mean, this came out of my, mouth unbeknownst to my mind. But anyway, afterwards, when I processed it, it was so powerful to see that the places we land in our lifetime and the experiences we have a value that when you're in it and you're suffering, you don't necessarily see the value. But when you float above it, and that's what a hypnosis can do. So I love that.
Yeah, you know, I've conducted maybe 6,000 regressions. I remember vividly like 20 of them, and yours was one, because it was so powerful. I remember while you were being raped, you said, "It's my husband." I think you said, "It's my husband," and you became aware of the soul contract you had with him, and you were going to reincarnate with him to help him grow. And I think you said he's getting better. Like, he wasn't perfect in this life that you had with him, but he wasn't as bad. So you were able to see the soul progression, and that somehow this commitment you had made to him was being fruitful. It was a fantastic learning for all of us.
And what was so wonderful is I knew when I took the class that it was going to be very important for me to be regressed, because something powerful was going to come through. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just knew that ahead of time. So when you missed me and picked the woman next to me, I was, you know, telling spirit move a little to the right here. Yeah. But yeah. I love the access to that higher knowledge, to that forgiveness, to the love despite all the bad things that happen. That's what I think can do.
And I wouldn't want anyone listening to think that this is like a victim blaming, that anyone, for people not to think that anyone who's been raped, it's like some pre-life planning. There's always different conditions. So it's not like one size fits all. But if you have suffered trauma, it's helpful, you know, if you've done your conscious work. But in this kind of work, you can get an understanding of what may have been a lesson or what may have been a learning that happened. But it's not about, you know, it may be about seeking justice or retribution. You know, there's not one size fits all. So I wouldn't want someone to think that it's always that a person who's raped has a contract with the rapist to do that. That'd be important for me to share, to make clear.
I think that is important. Mm-hmm. And that, I think not everybody will float to that place of a forgiveness with an understanding. And with something that has happened to you that's so traumatic, it may take a while for you to get to that place. And that
Well, I've certainly had other regressions where a person remembers past lives with a significant person in their life, a husband, and they remember past lives where things were worse, and that they realize they do have a soul contract with this individual to try to help them. And usually it's helpful, because it sees, like, as bad as their ex-husband is in this life, it helps them say, okay, well, they're making progress. You know, it's like they're not as bad as they were the last lifetime. But it's, you know, it's interesting how, you know, as souls, we love people so much. You know, we come into our families, oftentimes we come into these horrific abusive situations, that a lot of times we come almost like Christ figures. We come to give love where there's only hate given to us. You know, it's like, I think on every soul path, eventually we have a Christ-like path where we really don't get much and we give a lot in return. That seems like almost like the culminating life experience for a soul.
Right. I love that. We're going to take a short break, and when I come back, I want to talk more about what you've learned in regression, about where do the souls go and how do they decide the next lifetime, what you've learned about that, and a little more about soul contract. So we'll be right back after a short break.
Are you feeling lost or unmotivated, stuck and not sure what to do next? David George Brooke has exactly what you need on That Gratitude Guy podcast. David George Brooke is a speaker, best-selling author, and life coach here to share stories of motivation and inspiration to help you get unstuck and achieve great things by living with gratitude. Live every first and third Friday at 12:30 Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you living life, or is life living you? Tap into the divine love, healing, and wisdom already in you with T. Lotus on Triple L, the Live Love Lotus Show, every first and third Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about how to consciously create your most incredible life, join the Sacred Path online community. It's free. Visit thesacredpath11.com to join. That's thesacredpath11.com.
TalkRadio.com.
Are you trying to lose weight but feel guilty for eating your favorite foods? Feeling deprived and resentful makes for results that aren't sustainable. Join Adrian Craig every second and fourth Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for her show, Master Your Mindset for a Weight Loss Breakthrough. Learn to love the journey and watch yourself succeed. For more information about Adrian or to work with her personally, visit lifecanyon.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Can't get enough of I of Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eye of Soul, Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Everybody, we're back. I'm Doc Martin. I'm here with Peter Woodbury. We're having a great conversation, not only about hypnosis and hypnosis for past life regression, but what it teaches us about our spiritual life. And I want Peter to spend a little time sharing what he knows about that space between lives. What is the soul doing before it comes back? So, Peter, tell us a little of what you've learned.
Well, let me go. I'll go from the end of life and then to the in-between life state and then into the planning for the next life. So it seems like after we finish a lifetime, there's like a review. We kind of go over kind of what goals we set for a lifetime and kind of what we accomplished, maybe what goals we didn't quite reach. But what I've learned is that the only judge is your own self. Like your own soul self. There's no external judgment. Like I say, life is a self-graded exam. So when you're the one who's planned your life before you're incarnated, you worked on it. Basically, the reason you're wanting to work through your karma is because as long as you have karma, you're attached to this dimension, this school. And so you graduate from the school by working through your karma. So that's the motivation that you have, why we keep coming back here. And so in a lifetime, you planned the work you want to do. You came in and you knew you were going to meet your husband, your wife. You knew you were going to have your family. You knew there were going to be all these issues. There were going to be these challenges and these great opportunities. And how you made use of them, you evaluate. But again, the only judge is your own self. So there's no external judgment. It's almost like here I did fine. Oops, I still got to work with this. I didn't forgive this person. I kept this grudge, whatever it is. And so then you know that that's what you still have left to do. Now, the real in-between life experience, I don't believe it's accessible while we're in a physical body. I think that when you contact your guides, you're just doing that every night. We contact our guides. So we have our guides with us during a whole incarnation. But what happens in the in-between life experience, what Edgar Cayce talks about, is that we leave the energy field or the school of Earth, and we go into the university system, which is the other planets. So we've had an incarnation in Earth, and then you sort of have an incarnation in Venus and Saturn and Mars and Pluto and these different realms. But they're not incarnations, because carne means flesh. So this is the only dimension that we enter materiality. We enter these other planetary influences. We enter them in a state of a consciousness, so mentally and spiritually. And it seems like in each of these dimensions of learning, we gain some sort of ability. So let's say you've gone through your life, you've done your life review, and you had a life where you were kind of passive. You didn't really have enough oomph. So then you might sojourn, is what Cayce would call it, in Mars. And in Mars, you get the energy for your next life. Yes, so your next lifetime, you're going to act first and think later. But then let's say you've had a life where you were too assertive. Then you might sojourn in Venus. We learn to slow down, you know, smell the flowers, be more artistic and creative, and you'll bring those influences in. And then what Cayce really says is that the planetary influences and our past lives, they get stored in our endocrine system through what we call the chakras. So then your incarnation, like your astrology, is so important, because that's what you've been doing in between lives. That crystallizes in the body the moment the soul enters the physical body. And then you have now in your endocrine system, you have your past life influences that play out emotionally. And then you have your astrological influences that are very deep in the subconscious mind. They're basically essences of who you are. And so now you're prepared for your next life. And the astrology, let's say you had past lifetimes where you were angry, you had problems with anger. Well, then you might have the Mars placement very prominently, so that you have to deal with your anger. Not that you get to pardon it, but that you have, like I have my moon in Aries. So I've always had, as a child, I had a temper. And so as I learned about Cayce and astrology, it's because I've chosen in this life to learn how to control anger and control my temper. But that's just, again, that's just astrological. So it's deep in my subconscious. And then the past life influences are emotional. They'll play out the way that you feel about people and situations and those sorts of things. So then your pre-life planning becomes, you have your astrological influences to help you out and also to make you face issues. And then you pick the issues that you want to work on. And then you pick also a council. So you have a council of guides that are going to be with you. Some of them your whole life. Some of them are going to incarnate. And sometimes your council may be added on to by, let's say you have a grandparent that's really close to you. When they pass away, they may well join your council. So the way I look at it is that a person is like the CEO of a corporation, and the corporation is your life. It's your family and all these sort of things. But every CEO reports to a board of directors, and your council is like your board of directors. And every night you consult with those. Now in the regression, you can contact your guides and you can contact your board of directors or your council, and they will be quite, they'll express to you explicitly what they tell you when you're sleeping. So when you're sleeping, you get this information, but you don't always remember it when you wake up, but you can get access to that. It's a little bit like, I look at a regression, you've heard of near-death experiences, like a near-death experience, a person has a tremendous awakening. Well, I think a regression is like a smaller version of a near-death experience. It happens in the same places in consciousness.
Mm-hmm. So then you have this council, and you've kind of reviewed your life and you kind of go, I didn't do so good there. Then, then how do you, from that, do you then choose where you're coming back? Question number one. Question number two is, are there souls? Michael Newton talks about something like a soul pod.
Yes.
Like you have a group of souls that are kind of the people from whom you pick when you
soul
go
groups.
the next life. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, apparently since the beginning, since we first started kind of projecting ourselves into matter, since we first started visiting the earth, we had, like, you sat next to somebody at the class. It's like when we first started coming into the earth, there was a soul that was next to us, soul that read, and that we formed relationships with these souls, and then they eventually become our soul group. And so those are the group of souls that we have created our relationships with and our karma with. Some of it is really good, some of it is challenging, and they become the most important players in our life. And your inner city, your inner core soul group is probably about 6 or 8 souls that you predominantly incarnate with. So your parents are part of your soul group, your siblings, and very significant relationships and people that in your life. That would be the 6 or 8 people. And then you have another, like a suburban soul group, another 20, 30 souls that you incarnate sometimes with, but not as often as your core group. And then different people at different lifetimes we have where we reach more people. So when you've had a big influential life, you have a very large soul group that you can draw upon. So some of us have soul groups that are in the hundreds. And so those are, we may have a, if you're a public figure and you encounter a lot of people, a lot of times you're revisiting, maybe you were a public figure that abused people in a past life. And in this life, you're meeting those souls again to try to make amends.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what you've learned about a soul contract. We hear those words. What does that mean?
Well, most of our karma is with our own self. So most of our karma is in our own energy field. So we have karmic patterns, and we'll play them out with different people. And it's not necessarily a soul contract with that individual. So we may have, let's say, self-esteem issues from past lives. And so we may play those out. There's lots of people that are like I think the predominant pattern that we're working through in this life, I would call the narcissist and the codependent. And so we may be codependent or narcissistic, and we find individuals that fit with us. They may or may not be from past lives, but we can learn from people that fit that pattern. But sometimes we have a contract with a particular soul, and like you have with your husband and your father, and then that individual, that soul, will come back for us to work on something. And usually those are from our soul group. So your father and your husband, I would say that in some ways you've had many, many lifetimes working together. Mm-hmm. So soul contracts are where, let's say you had a soul contract with the soul of your husband to try to help him progress. Now, eventually when he progresses, he may make a contract with you to say, I'm going to support you now. Maybe 6 lifetimes from now, he's going to become a very devoted soul to you. And everybody will say, oh, you're so lucky. You have this wonderful husband. He's so wonderful to you. They won't know that it took you 12 lifetimes to turn him from a wild animal into a human being,
Right. And I think also with the whole point that you're alluding to is when we incarnated, when we materialized on the earth, our goal is to improve the quality of our soul. And so all mm-hmm. of these lifetime experiences, good and bad, serve to the point of us learning to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And so these people who choose to play roles with us, even if they're total jerks, that's a powerful role. I think about that when I think about some of our politicians who, by everything you can look at from a human being point of view, they may not look so great, but they play a powerful role in us at least discerning what we want and don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I just love that idea. But
yeah.
let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, Peter's going to teach us the points of what we can do with our own selves for self-hypnosis for any kind of issue. And Edgar Cayce was he also thought that was a beautiful idea. So Peter's going to tell us more when we come back. Take a quick break.
not just talk. Conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com. What did you say?
Have you ever felt like if you just had the right tools and resources, you'd be able to carve a path toward the life your heart is aching for? Guess what? You have everything you need inside you. I'm Natasha Ornedo, and I'm here to show you that your healing is in your hands. Tune into my show, Unlock the Healing Path, every second and fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about me and my work, visit NatashaOrnedo.com.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
Your inspiration all day on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
If you're a mom, you're probably hard-pressed to think of things you wouldn't do for your child's well-being. What if I told you the greatest thing you could do for your kid's development is focus on your own development? When you work on yourself, you begin to show up better for the people you love. Tune into Imperfect Momming with Alicia Lyons on your favorite podcast platforms. Learn more about me at alishalyons.com. alishalyons.com.
TalkRadio.com. You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to the Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit nancylandrum.com.
Okay, we're back. Before we get into Peter telling us how to do self-hypnosis, Peter, will you tell the listeners how they can reach you or your website if they want to do a session with you?
Sure. I do sessions, but I also teach. I teach online and in person. I lead tours. So you can find me with my full name.com. So it's peterwoodbury.com, and that's wood and then B-U-R-Y.com. And you'll find everything you need to know about me.
Perfect. All right. Talk to us about self-hypnosis.
Okay, well, hypnosis is a kind of popularly misunderstood concept. Like, people think trance states are very exotic. Like, they think that hypnotic states are like, oh my God, it's really weird. And we have to understand that hypnotic states or trance states are very common. We experience them every day. Like, in order to go to sleep, you have to go through different trance states. So between wakefulness and sleep, the mind opens to suggestion. And that's what we call hypnosis, the suggestibility of the mind that's achieved between wakefulness and sleep. So a common experience that, or for some people, is meditation. Meditation is a state where you kind of enter into an in-between state. You're not quite awake, you're not quite asleep. So you're in a suggestible state. And so the Casey form of meditation is a type of self-hypnosis, because you're in a trance state and you're repeating to yourself a spiritual affirmation. So you're training your mind and you're training your consciousness towards that, you know, let's say it's love or peace or oneness. If you're in a trance state and you're saying oneness, you're going to become more like that. Like, you're steering your consciousness toward those states of consciousness. So if somebody wants to do, for example, what I do, how I learned to apply self-hypnosis, is if you have a relationship in your life that is pesky, meaning you just kind of like wonder, what's up with me and this person? Why do we misunderstand each other? Or why can I live with them, but I can't live without them? You know, these type of things. Or we have a pattern, like, why do I keep dating this type of person? Or why am I always alone? Or why don't things work out for me the way that I like to? So let's say you identify either a relationship or a pattern that you want to work on. Then the next thing you'd want to do is try to understand or entertain the feeling that goes with that. So the relationship, what's the feeling like? Oh, frustration, misunderstanding, or loneliness, or whatever feeling it is. So then what you do is you would go into like a meditation. You close your eyes and you just try to, when your mind wanders, you try to focus back on that feeling. And you just say, I'm going to meditate and I'm going to self-hypnotize towards this feeling. And what will happen, what oftentimes happen, is that if you can kind of mind wanders, keep coming back to this frustration or this loneliness, then oftentimes you'll get into some kind of an understanding of where that is coming from. So for example, I remember having a relationship with a woman, and this was after college, and she was delightful. She was just very free-spirited. And she was also like, her body matched her nature because she had hyperflexible joints. And so one time she danced herself right out of her knees, they hyperextended. And so she had to have surgery. So she had these big scars on the sides of her knees because they had to reattach the tendons because they had torn. So that's just an aside. But what would happen is that she would be so kind of loosey-goosey that I would get really mad at her. And she'd get really surprised, and I'd get really surprised. But why was I getting so triggered? So I wanted to understand that relationship. So I didn't go to a regressionist. I just went with that feeling. I just tried to meditate on this frustration, on her, you know, how much I cared about her, what a nice person she was, but why I would get so frustrated. So after a few minutes, what came to me is I saw myself as a very stern landowner. That's what came to me, landowner in South America. And I ruled my family. Like, I had a corporation and I ruled my wife and my children. And they were all supposed to be like little soldiers. They were all supposed to be emblematic of that God had given us good fortune and that we were wealthy because God wanted it that way. And then we had another child, and this child was born with polio. And this child had to have the braces on their legs. And this child like would upset me so much that I had to deal with having a handicapped child. Like, I felt it was a negative reflection on the family, that it broke this magic spell. I wanted everybody to believe that we were somehow a perfect, God-blessed family. And that child was her. And it helped me understand why I was triggered from the past life. I was trying to heal with her that pattern. So that's one of the ways that you can do it in a self-hypnosis. Basically, the more you learn how to the more you learn how to meditate, the more naturally you can enter into trance states. So it's very much a meditative trance state. Work on the feelings. Maybe you can visualize that person or whatever it is. If it's loneliness, the pattern, it's very poignant. And then go into it. Instead of trying to run away from it, try to go into it and then see what comes forth. And I really trust this process because you're never going to get more than you're ready for. It's going to be very gentle. It might give you just a couple of images and then you'll wake up and that'll be all that you're. And sometimes you can get more, of course, if you're with somebody else there holding the space with you.
Do you see any value to, for example, you have an affirmation. Do you see any value to recording it in your voice and using that to help you be meditative?
Yes. Edgar Cayce talked a lot about pre-sleep suggestions. And there's like a 7 to 12 minutes between when you're going to bed and you're tired. Most people fall asleep in 7 to 12 minutes. I don't fall asleep that quickly anymore, but I remember when I used to. But so you can make a recording, and you can put in the recording, repeat the kind of aspects that you want to become more of. Like, you want to exercise. You'd say, oh my God, it feels so good to work out. I love going out and swimming and running, or I love eating salads, or whatever it is you're wanting to entrain your mind towards. And you just make a nice, lovely, loop of those suggestions, and you can listen to it as you're falling asleep. And you will see that that does influence you, that you begin to subconsciously start to like salads more or exercise more. And I'll make recordings for people for them to listen. So sometimes people don't like to hear their own voices recorded, but so sometimes I'll do it for them.
One thing I want to just say to everybody, hypnosis, it feels like, somebody's going to make you do something out of your control. Because when you have people on stage, they might say, hop like a duck or quack like a duck.
Yeah, something. Mm-hmm.
But you aren't ever going to do anything that your subconscious doesn't agree to. So if you're worried about that, the truth is you are still, I like to say, you're a sovereign entity. You still decide. Your essence, your spirit, your subconscious is going to put the brakes on if it's not. I think I just want to reassure people that even though you may be in a trance state, nothing is going to be done to you that you don't agree to.
Right. And essentially, like you're saying, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. If somebody comes to me and says, I don't think you could hypnotize me, I'd say, yeah, you're right. I can hypnotize you. if you don't want to be hypnotized, it's hard enough for some people who really want to. But if you don't think you can be hypnotized, there's nobody can do it for you. You have to be willing. You have to want it to happen. And then even then, sometimes for some people, it's a challenge. But nothing is ever done against your will.
And I think the good example of that is I was willing to be vulnerable. And the story comes out about a rape because the healing that came from that, my soul knew there was a big benefit for that.
I was just going to say we'll continue that. People can reach me anytime and I'll be happy to continue conversation.
Wonderful. So Peter Woodbury, his website is his name, peterwoodbury.com. Go with him on a trip. Where are you going coming up?
In November, I'm going to Egypt, and we're going to do the ceremony in the king's chamber, in the sarcophagus, which is like a regression. The soul leaves the body. Back then it was 3 days. We won't do it for 3 days, but we'll do that ceremony. And then in next year in March, we'll be going to Peru.
Wonderful. So everybody, I'm Doc Martin. This has been Maximum Medicine Radio with Peter Woodbury. Thank you so much for being here with us. Edvin, thank you for producing us. Peter, I'm so happy to have you here. It was wonderful talking.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Good night.
You've been listening to Maximum Medicine Radio with Doc Martin. Tune in next time while the doc talks health, spirituality, and the impact your beliefs have on every part of who you are, body and soul. Doc Martin unpacks the challenges we face as human beings and teaches callers to open the door between the scientific and the mystical. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.